If you have your Bible and you'd like to follow along, I'm going to start in Philippians chapter 2. Paul had a special place in his heart for the church at Philippi. They supported him financially, and were one of the first churches to do so. But here in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, and not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good purpose. And I want us to focus this morning on what is this working out our salvation? What is it that we're to work out? Because salvation is so much richer than being forgiven. And I'd like it to be simplified to us. You know what we need to work out? We need to work out every single area in our life where sin or corruption is plaguing us or the other people in our lives. Work it out. See salvation come to every area, every attitude, every conversation, every stronghold, everything in your life that's difficult for you, that causes you harm. Because usually if it's causing you harm, it's going to spill out and it's also going to make it harder for someone else. And we need to see the salvation of God so come in our life. It comes deep into our heart, deep into our vocabulary. We think different. We speak different. We respond different. Because salvation is deeply being worked all the way through us. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is he at work to do? I want to talk about that this morning. What is he doing in us? Well, in the same book, Philippians, the same letter, chapter 1, read with me. Just a few verses. I'm going to start in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. What is God working in you? He's working you every goodness he can possibly work into your life. Any area where something is not right, he's working his goodness there. So that eventually you and I will be filled with the goodness of God. Everything wrong, he wants in to work that which is good and make it right. Everything that is bad for us, he wants to work to make it good. And how does he do this? Because you might wonder, how does he do that? Well, let's look, and if you're following me, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5. God was at work in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin for us to... God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that is, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in him. So how does God do his good work in us? In him we become the righteousness of God. He places us in Christ. Now, how does he do that? Let me give you a picture of that. Because you've heard another scripture, and we're going to go there in a minute. that if you make a tree good, Jesus said, its fruit will be good. Well, remember, God is seeking to work and finish a good work in us. And He accomplishes that good work by grafting us into Christ. We're grafted into Christ. How many of you know anything about grafting? How they graft a fruit tree to make it delicious? Most of us enjoy some of the wonderful fruit that is very available in our culture. But do you know that most of that fruit has been created that way by men grafting a good tree to a common old, what they call rootstock? What they do in grafting is they'll have a rootstock. They just want something sturdy. It doesn't even have to be a fruit-bearing tree. It could be something like a crab apple or something that is disease-resistant, that's drought-resistant, that's fairly sturdy. And when it's about the size of a pencil, they will take that rootstock and they will cut it. They will cut it right in half. Then they will take a branch or a small, what they call a scion. That's what they actually call it, a scion. And a scion is the Greek word for the son of a nobleman. Isn't that interesting? They take a scion of whatever fruit that they desire, and they slice the scion, and they slice the root graft, and they put the two together very carefully, and they wrap it to keep the joint moist. And if the joint holds, it forms a bond, and the rootstock and the scion become one. And now everything that grows from above comes from the scion, even though its roots and its stock is nothing special. So do you see how God produces His goodness in us? Everything that He placed within His Son, every grace, all of His power, all of His goodness, His divine nature in His Son bonds with who we are. And as we become one with Christ, the fruit in our life is actually being produced by the nature of Christ in us. And this is what is happening. God is imparting to us His own goodness. And it begins a thorough work in us. And if that bond holds, it brings forth good fruit. And that old common rootstock becomes a good tree, bearing good fruit. Because the old man, the man that was corrupted by sin, the old man that was a slave to sin, has been cut asunder. He is crucified with Christ. But those who belong to Christ, and Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, those who belong to Christ, those who are bonded with Christ, have crucified the old man with its passions. They crucified the old man, and now they've become bonded with Christ Himself. And now the fruit of their life is coming from Christ, because in Christ, God makes a bad tree good. And why does He do this? Because that's the testimony He wants in the world. That's how men know God is at work. Because we are bearing the fruit of Christ in us. That's how men know God is real and in us. Jesus said this. Look in, if you're following me, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 33. These are the words of Christ. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You know a tree is either good or bad by the fruit it produces. Then he tells the Jewish leaders, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? He said, you're bad trees. No good fruit can come from you at all. They refuse to receive his grace. But listen to what he says. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he says this, the good man brings forth good out of the good stored up in him. So what is it God at work in us to do? He is at work in us to bring his goodness, to fill us with his goodness. And as his goodness fills our heart, what comes out of our mouth? Goodness. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what an aquifer is? We enjoy the water from the Edwards Aquifer, you know, here. The wonderful fresh water. When an aquifer, especially after all the rain that we have been having, when it fills, when an underground cavity begins to be filled and reach its limit, and more water continues to fill the cap to flow into the cavity, that water has to go somewhere. What happens? As it becomes fuller and fuller and it reaches all the room it has underground, it looks for some place to relieve that pressure. And what will it do? Come springing up. Those who are being filled with the goodness of God, those who are being filled with the Spirit of God, out of their innermost being, out of what God is working in them, will flow rivers of living water. God is filling them with his own goodness. And as they become full, the overflow is the goodness of God begins to flow out of their life. And let me tell you, that goodness is washing away. It is renewing. It is repairing. It is renovating. It is transforming the old man into a new man, because God is making a new creation. If any man is in Christ, if they're in that graft, and if that graft is holding, and if that graft becomes a bond that's sealed, that person becomes, in Christ, a new creation. And old things pass away. Old speech passes away. Old thoughts pass away. Old responses pass away. Old desires pass away. Now, some of it, I see some incredulous looks like, nah. Mm-mm. What that means is you know about Christ and you're not abiding in him, because it's reality. It's reality. It's rare. Oh, it's rare. There's a million Christians who don't experience it, but that doesn't make it not real. That just means not very many people are genuinely abiding in Christ. Because if the union holds and it's real, righteousness is what comes out of us. We become new creations. We were sinners. We become saints. We were those controlled by what's wrong. Now we're empowered by what's right. And it is the transformation that brings God glory. When people see the change, it's the evidence God has been at work. And the tree, if it's a good tree and it bears good fruit, God will be pleased. But what happens if it's a tree that does not bear good fruit? Did Jesus say anything about the non-good trees? He did. Let's look back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus addressed the good and the bad trees. And it was actually, we'll see, that it was actually addressed even before him. Someone else addressed it. In Matthew chapter 7, I'll start in verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They may be religious, but they're after what they can get out of you, not for what they can do for you. A wolf has no heart for the sheep. He just wants to consume them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? No. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And then he says this, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, this is not the first time that he said this. He has heard this before. The man who went before him, John the Baptist, the forerunner, said the same thing. Remember the man who said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand? The man who wore camel skin and ate locusts and honey, that lived in the desert, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? In Matthew chapter 3, this is what John said. Verse 7, Matthew 3, 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Repentance means a change of mind. Have you changed your mind about the way you live? Do you now say you're a follower of Christ? Young people, listen to me. Do you now say you're a follower of Christ? Then change your fruit. Bring forth fruit in keeping with your profession. Bring forth righteousness and kindness and meekness and goodness and love and mercy. Bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Because he goes on to say, and do not think you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and become firewood. Every tree, every person in here that does not produce good fruit, the fruit of Christ, the fruit of righteousness, will become firewood. It does not matter. Your sitting in these pews will not save you. You bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Jesus said this again in John chapter 15. You remember John chapter 15? That famous chapter where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm going to read from verse 5, John 15, 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So you see what he's saying? Remain. There's that abiding. Remember the picture of the graph. What happens? We're the rootstock. We're just old common. Where are our roots? They're in Adam. Oh, yeah, we can admit it. Sure. I have an old nature like you do. You have an old nature like I do. We have the same old sin-corrupted nature that Adam had. But in Christ, that nature has been circumcised, crucified. And Christ himself, the nature of Christ, is now bonded together with us. And if that bond takes and we are abiding, we are one in Christ, now it causes much fruit, good fruit to be born. But if the bond doesn't take, what did Jesus say? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is like a branch that is taken away and withers. And it's thrown into the fire and burned. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and you show yourselves a disciple. Not the fruit of righteousness. the fruit of the Spirit. And it's so wonderful that this is the will of God, because the fruit of the Spirit that He's asking us to bear by through our union with Christ is the very means by which the goodness of God is shared with everyone in our life. You know the verse in Galatians chapter 5, 22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. He even says, against such things, there's no law. Can you see the heart of God? Can you imagine yourself in old attitudes passing away, and instead you're being filled with the fruit of the Spirit? You're being filled with love. You're being filled with kindness. You're being filled with mercy. You're being filled with self-control. Everyone in your life begins to be blessed by the fruit of Christ in you. And as they begin to be blessed by God at work in you, they suddenly realize God's real. They see, they taste and see that the Lord is good from the fruit that's being produced in you by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is the will of God. This is what glorifies Him. Didn't Jesus say that? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what do they do when they see your good works? They glorify the Father. Especially when they've seen our bad works first. Right? They know we're not good on our own. They know that we're just as human as they are. They know. But when they see the transformation, God is real. They're experiencing. When you walk into your job and you are full of the Holy Spirit, and day in and day out, you are a living demonstration of a person guided by, supported by, encouraged by, led by some internal goodness that they know religion. They're not interested. You are a tree of righteousness planted right there. So that the fruit of righteousness in your life is right there for them to see and taste. Can you imagine the difference being filled with the goodness of God would make in every area of your life? I want you to imagine with me. God is at work in you to empower you to do and become good. Just think that way. That's really what His grace is. Grace is the power of God to work in us to enable us to do and become good. You know, we can't control what others do to us sometimes, can we? Can't control the circumstance. Can't control the environment. Bad things happen in front of us. They happen to us. Can't control them. But have you thought of something? If you learn by the power of the Holy Spirit in you to respond in the goodness of God, you will overcome evil with good. Because what happens when something bad happens to you and your response is bad? It just makes it worse. Aren't you tired of making it worse? How many times have losing your temper really helped? How many times is really opening your mouth and saying what you think and feel? How many times has it really helped? See, we can't control the world around us. But we can demonstrate that Christ in us, we have an excellency of power even in this common earthen vessel. And we can show, like Paul said, that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. It's why I pursue to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not trying to be saved. I want to experience salvation from everything that's not good. Isn't that natural? Why should I want to live with what's bad? I want good speech. I want good thoughts. I want good emotions. I want a good response. I want to be so filled with Christ that if someone blindsides me, boom! What happens is goodness. I just react in a good way. That's what I want. That's what I believe with all my heart God wants. And that's what I believe is what's missing in the church. Is people who are so filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God that no matter what they face and what happens to them, the goodness of God is what comes out.
All right.
That is what God desires. That is overcoming evil with good. And it's interesting, I didn't mention this in the verse about make a tree good and its fruit will be good. But there are two different words in the Greek. Two different words. Make a tree good. The first word for good is agathos. That means internal goodness. And you know what it says? God is agathos. That's God. All that kind of goodness has to come from God. Only God is good. Even Jesus stopped the man and said, good teacher. He stopped him right there and said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. So agathos only comes from God. So God has to make the tree good. He's the only one good. Only good can make good. But if God makes us good, its fruit will be good. But that's a different word. That's kalos. And kalos is the external beauty of the internal goodness. It's attractive. It's noble. It's when men see attractive, noble, godly, spiritual, Christ-like responses that they recognize, man, there's goodness in there. Jesus said, the good man brings forth good. How does that good man get to be good? God has made the tree good. You remember the verse in Isaiah? The promise. And remember what Paul said about God's promises. No matter how many promises God has made in Christ Jesus, they are all yes and amen. So here's a promise of God that's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The Lord will give us beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what he wants to give us. That's pretty good news. beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And why does he want to do such? So that we might be made a tree of righteousness. God wants to make you and I a tree of righteousness. And we've already seen how he does that. How does he make us a tree of righteousness? He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us in order that we might be made in him. In him, when we are grafted into Christ. Even though we are just the old common rootstock of Adam, corrupt and human and weak in ourselves, Christ grafted into us, becoming one with us, when the bond holds and we are abiding in Christ, suddenly we become in him a tree of righteousness. He gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be made trees of righteousness so that he may be glorified. You see, when they see the good fruit that God is working in our lives, they glorify him. Because they're tasting his goodness through our responses to life. At work, at home, I want you to imagine every relationship you have, relationship as a spouse, as a son or daughter, as a friend, as a parent, as a brother and sister in Christ, the goodness of Christ so powerfully at work in you, every person in your life seeing constant goodness from Christ at work. Isn't that beautiful? What a way to live. It is a process. But this is a process we should pursue. You know, it's so much God's will that this might throw some people off. But let me read the words of Jesus. Let me read these words of Jesus to you, okay? Do not be amazed at this. This is in John chapter 5. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Okay, he's talking about the great resurrection at the last day. Time's coming when everybody who's in the grave, he's going to call them out of the grave. And then here's what he says. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Wow. Did Jesus just simplify it into two categories? Those who've done good, they're going to live eternal life. And those who've done evil, condemned. How could he do that? That sounds like works. No, that's the description. Everyone who's done good are those that the Father's been at work at. They're the ones bonded with Christ. And he so knew that in him, with the Father at work, the fruit of their life would be good. And those who experience that, they do good. It's just a description. So how do you know that your faith is real? How do you know that you genuinely, really are in Christ? That graft, that bond is taking, is becoming one. How do you know? Can I say the only way you can know it is by the fruit in your life. It's not the words you say. It's the fruit you show. We say it. Actions. James says, if you say you have faith, good. Even the demons believe and they tremble. The demons called Jesus Lord. We know who you are, Lord. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, Jesus told us what the will of the Father in heaven is. The will of the Father is that you should bear much fruit and show yourself to be my disciples. So everyone who bears much fruit is going to heaven. That's the will of the Father. And he is the one willing to do the work in us. God is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So can you see why Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 12, you're familiar with it. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. What kind of fruit is the world bringing forth? Bad fruit. No more. No more bad fruit. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what's the first word? Good and pleasing and perfect will of God.
Yes.
But we need to learn to prove what's good. And you know what's so beautiful? Is this is why the Holy Spirit is there. Because oftentimes when we're tempted, and we do live in a corrupt environment, and things happen, we in marriages, in friendships, in parents to child, in brother and sisters in the church, we have an enemy who likes to stir things up, don't we? Okay, we need to experience this goodness even in the midst of the devil that prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we need some help. And we have that help because God has promised it. He doesn't let anyone be tempted above what they're able to bear, does he? But along with the temptation, what does he do? He provides a way of escape so that we can bear up under it. And the way the Lord does that is through the Holy Spirit. The way of escape was the Holy Spirit shows us what is truly good in every situation we're in. You got a bunch of thoughts swirling in your head? The Holy Spirit will say, none of them are good. Don't say any of those. Don't even go down that. Stop that imaginary conversation you're having in your mind. Stop it. Take it captive. Don't yield to that. The Holy Spirit will show you this is what's good. This is what's true. And if you respond by the help of the Holy Spirit, goodness overcomes evil. You see? Goodness overcomes evil. You bless when you're cursed. You do good to those who hurt you. You pray for those who despitefully use you. And in this way, we're not victims. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And when things come and attack us, the goodness of God at work in us overcomes evil. We overcome evil with good. That's what Paul said. Actually, it's one of the last things he said in Romans chapter 12. We were there just a minute ago. At the very last verse of Romans chapter 12, I'll read from verses 17 to the end of the chapter. It's just four verses. Romans 12, 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is good in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with every man. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, do good. Right? Feed him. Feed him would be the good thing to do. Do good. It doesn't say, well, if your enemy's hungry, serves you right, buddy. Good, God, get him. No, that's not what he says. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, in your goodness, you'll be heaping burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now see, Paul's realistic. He knew you're going to face evil. I'm going to face evil. That's not the question. We'll face it every day, every week. And some days it'll be a lot worse than others. And when evil confronts us and we're confronted with some kind of evil, regardless of how painful, how does God want us to respond? Do what's good. That's his will. Peter understood it. I'm going to read this verse from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. And listen to this beautiful instruction. Live such good lives among the pagans. Are you married? Please live such a good life in front of your spouse. They just can't find anything wrong with you. Live such a good life. You're employed. Live such a good life that no one at your job can find anything bad to say about you. That's God's will. And that takes being filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, didn't the Bible say we're supposed to always be filled with the Holy Spirit? led by the Holy Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, so it takes Christ with us every day to make this possible. Let me ask you, church, is it possible?
Yes.
That's awful weak. Oh, ye of little faith. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. And what do? Glorify. Always, over and over, they got it. By doing good, men recognize God. That's it. Not by what you say, by what you do. By what you do, by your response, they see God and they glorify Him. Because they recognize. That's what glorify means. It's to recognize. It's to draw attention to. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits you. And then it goes on a couple of verses later. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Now, you know what we as Americans love to do? We love to argue. And we love to debate. And when things get hot and heavy in your home, what do? How many of you resort to arguing? How many of you resort to complaining? Let's duke it out. Come on. What you thinking, honey? You know, you always got something to say. And how does God really want the situation to be resolved? Doing good. That's how the word in the Greek is to muzzle. You want to muzzle that you want to muzzle that other person? And stop arguing with them. Do what's good. That's God's will. That's how you put a muzzle on someone. You do what's good. And how do you do what's good? Let me tell you, what's the secret of doing what's good? Remember, we have to share in that divine nature. God is the only one purely good. And we have to be drawing our understanding, our strength, our wisdom, our counsel. We have to be drawing our guidance from Him. But this is what makes the Christianity more than just something we profess and talk about. This makes Christianity union with a living being, the very Son of God, who brings the very divine nature of God and actually allows us to partake of the divine nature. And by being bonded and united and in union with Him, His nature, His goodness produces fruit in our life. Wow. It's an exciting life. And so, and He will take care of those areas that, because it is a work in process. Because most of us have some areas that are not very fruitful. Remember what Jesus said? His Father's the gardener, right? What does He do to an area that's not fruitful? He just cuts it out, prunes it. He just prunes it. Wouldn't that be nice, some of those responses that don't do you any good anyway, to have them pruned out of your life? Yeah, I'll just take that. I'll take your tendency to respond that way. I'll just take it right out. That doesn't ever produce any fruit anyway. Lord, please do that in me. Take out my quick tongue. Take out my lack of self-control. Take out my insecurity. And bring me your nature. Strengthen your own fruit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of meekness, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of patience. Oh. Prune out all those areas that are just lead to dead end and don't do anybody any good. And show the world just how much you can do with ordinary old me. Common old rootstock me. Common old Adam. I'm just like great, 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 great grandpa Adam. but because of Christ. And now the union to God the Father, the work that He has done to join me to Christ. Anything that is good at all in my life is because God is at work. And that's my testimony. And that can be your testimony. And that's what you want it to be, right? Do you hear anything? Are these lights saying anything? Not saying a sound? They're there, aren't they? You can see, can't you? They don't have to say a thing. Let your light so shine. Men will see it. The good deeds are obvious to the world. You don't have to draw attention to it. They will radiate everywhere. And everyone in your life who sees this good being worked by God in you and I, everyone who sees it will begin to taste the goodness of God. And suddenly, you know what you'll be? You'll be a witness. You'll be a missionary. You'll be a testimony to everyone, everywhere, all the time. Just like God wants. This is what we're supposed to be encouraging one another to do. This is how we're supposed to be encouraging one another to live. This way. It's an exciting life if you see it. That, Lord, help me this day. Father in heaven. Remember what's the first thing? Hallowed be your name. You know how God's name is really beautifully hallowed? By the sacred lives of His people. The good that He works in us is visible. It's visible to everyone in our life. So, can I just encourage you? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Seek to become that. Let God finish that work. Remember where one of the verses we started. He who began the good work. What will He do? He'll carry it out to completion. As a matter of fact, I just want to sing a little song for you.